ready, Steve?
Uh-huh.
Andy?
Yeah!
Bert? Well, all right, fellas.
The broadcast is now starting. All attendees are in listen-only mode.
You're listening to CFRN, the Christian Financial Radio Network.
Today's broadcast is brought to you by Audible. Get a free audiobook download at www.audibletrial.com/CFRN. Over 85,000 titles. Choose from mystery, romance, religion, science, technology, business, New York Times bestsellers, even children's books. You name it, Audible has it. With 85,000 titles to choose from, you're sure to find the perfect audiobook for yourself or to give as a gift, and it's absolutely free. Just point your browser to audibletrial.com/CFRN. That's audibletrial.com/CFRN. And become a part of the audiobook revolution by downloading your free audiobook today. audibletrial.com/CFRN.
Hey, trader, want to get rich quick? Well, good luck with that. If, on the other hand, you actually want to learn how to trade, the place to be is www.cfrn.net. Tune in Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. Eastern, for our daily devotional, and then spend the next 3 hours learning how it's done from professional traders who actually trade for a living. That's www.cfrn.net. Every trading day from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. Eastern. CFRN, a community of believers who trade for a living.
Good afternoon, traders, and welcome back to the CFRN E-Mini Futures Cast. This is the daily broadcast of indeterminate length, where we discuss all things E-Mini, along with some really big ideas on the finer points of trading gold, bonds, crude, sugar, the euro, and even T-bills. Joining us today from our studios in Boston, Mr. Michael Bork. From our trading desk in Chicago, Mr. Burton Schlichter. And from our studios in Las Vegas, Nevada, Mr. David Williams. Now, to get things started, let's go to our host and founder in Studio A, overlooking South Mountain, America's largest city park. Here's Dwayne.
Good afternoon. Welcome back. Today is Tuesday, 26th day of July, 2011. The Dow is down 64 points, the S&P is down 3, the comp is up 1. Good afternoon, Michael.
Good afternoon, Dwayne.
Good to have you back with us. Glad you had a great vacation.
It's good to be back.
Packing my wife off today, taking her and little Gabe to the airport, waving bye-bye, and I'll be the bachelor. I'll be the most eligible bachelor in Phoenix for the next 10 days, so...
Yeah, I'm 10 days, huh?
Really excited about that. You know, having peace and quiet is a wonderful thing until that's all you have.
Right.
And you're like, oh, right, especially, man.
Especially if you're used to chaos.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. A little chaos, a little grumbling. You know, I mean, it's kind of, it gives life flavor.
Couldn't agree more.
Taking a look at the markets. Well, guys, you hear us talk about naked trade from time to time, and that has everything to do with the charts and nothing to do with what we are not wearing. It has to do with using basically price action and a minimalist amount of indicators on our chart. This morning, opening bell, 8:30 a Chicago time, we were in a bearish decline, and from the opening bell, price dropped roughly from 13.3150. There's about, no, actually we were back up here at the open. So, yeah, we'll call it 31.50, and we drop down to 26, which for the partners, that would be an important area, and we would expect a reaction. Price did bounce, dug a little deeper. And then we got this upside business going on, which there's a pullback entry right here, 27. We actually took it in the live trading room, then decided we weren't too crazy about it. And so we decided to just go ahead and let it go. So we got out, and there she went.
Yep.
So this is a prime example. You've heard me say that the naked trade on the 2100, on a good day, it is the Holy Grail on a good day. And on a bad day, it's the trade from hell. Okay. Today, this short trade was a beautiful piece of work. This long trade, let's see, you'd have got in at about 27.5, and it ran up to 29. So you would have taken a full 2 points out of that. So you could have got stopped out of that. Then if you tried to short that, that would have caused you some grief. But if you knew what we knew, you wouldn't have tried to short that. Because, well, you just wouldn't. So that wouldn't even be an issue. This, eh. And then this one ran to the moon. In fact, when we got into this trade, Michael said, gee, I think this will probably go to 33. And then we got out of the trade. But anyway, as you can see, it went to 33. Now, we actually expected it to get a little bit higher. We expected it to go to 33.50. Is that what it was? 33.50? Yeah.
Yeah, we're expecting to get up to the line in the sand.
And we're not ruling out that it's going to get there yet. But this final move yesterday on the sentiment indicator, not the cinnamon indicator, but the sentiment, we had to drop, we had to pull back here going into the close at 36, and then overnight we dropped to 26. It's a 10-point decline on Globex off of that. Now, rolling back yesterday, there was a couple of opportunities. First time we hit it, it was good for 2 points. And then we crossed over and banged it from the other side for 2 points. And then pushed through and sold off it here and then sold off it again for that big 10-point move. So when you hear us talk about the sentiment indicator, that's what we're referring to, this chart. It is the only intraday chart that we use. As you can see, not really any gap activity going on today. Markets were pretty quiet overnight. And yep. From here to here, okay, that was 10. So we're still, you know, this thing held here for a half an hour. And then it pushed, and we really thought we were going there. And we got, what was the high? I think we missed our area by a tick.
Today, yeah. Yeah, we missed it by one tick.
By one tick. But now the market's flattened out here, so it may not be done. It may come up to test it again. In fact, put some little drawings on the chart here and have a look-see. See what comes of this. See if it's going to... Obviously, from here, it's a down move off of 30.50. Okay. Don't take the trade because some guru on the radio said you should be short 30.50. If you like what you see and it makes sense based upon what you know about trading, well then, in my opinion, it's a good place to be short. Are there other mitigating circumstances and factors that might lead us to believe the market could trade higher? There are. But you know what? You can only layer on so much. And then pretty soon you're in bondage to all these different indicators, and then you can't make any kind of a trading decision. So you either short it or you don't. Kind of that simple. This quote was made some time ago by Steve Jobs. Remembering you're going to die is the best way I know to avoid the trap of thinking you have something to lose. You're already naked. There's no reason not to follow your heart. Steve Jobs. Now, this quote was this was a quote before he got sick. But I'd love to have a discussion with him, not about when the iPhone 5 is going to come out, but about this quote that he, and I'm sure when he said it, I don't know that he was like, you know, quote me on this, but he said it and then somebody quoted him on it.
Well, I was reading just yesterday that Steve Jobs is one of the, he was one of the rags to riches guys. You know, he had nothing at one point. He went to college and he dropped out of college and he started his business and he got fired from Apple and he was sleeping on the floors of friends' houses and stuff like that. So, you know, maybe a reference to that, you know, that period of his life. But he certainly came back from that. Now, I think they went, 12 years or something like that without him being an employee of Apple. And
fear of anything and fear of everything is the most crippling entity, I believe, on planet Earth. I said fear of anything and fear of everything. Some people have fears of some things, some people fear everything. And some people are afraid and don't even know it. But they don't take action. Bottom line, we're all going to end up at some point in our life, you know, bones in a box in the ground. I mean, that's just the way it plays out. Thumb through the history books, there's only one that escaped death. You know, one. Only one, right? And not to be depressing or morose or any of that, but really what Steve is saying here is go for it, man. There's no reason not to follow your heart, follow your dream, follow your plan, follow your hopes, your expectations. You know, go for it. All right, price reaching up now to 32. Let's go back to our line in the sand.
Yep, and that's for those of you that were watching this morning in the room. I had suggested it was going to do this a few bars ago, like 4 bars ago. We got out of that channel that I drew on the downside, but we're coming back up to it right now. The line in the sand is out of that channel that I drew as well. But it's still inside that special place.
On the hourly, we would look for a pullback right in here to this 33.50. We've been talking about that all morning. We had a potential change of trend here. Market went up 5.5 points. Potential change of trend here. Market had a pretty good drop. Change of trend here. The market rose about 5 points. What was the high of this bar here? Try it again. The high 39.75, and the open over here was 35.75. So that was about a 4-point move. And then just really pretty quiet action overnight. And then off this change of trend here, we had a drop. The open was 32.50. And the low of the day so far, I mean the low is 32.50. The open, the low is 25.50. There we go. So from 32.50 to 25.50, we had a 7-point drop there after this candle. Now we got the red MA1 coming down, so we're just kind of, you know, a pullback into that would just be, that would be beautiful. That would also back us right into here. Okay? This thing we've been looking for. Which would then make this whole scenario over here a little more attractive for me. That's why I hedged that whole thing with, you know, don't take the short, just because the guy on the radio said it looks like it's setting up. Because there's mitigating circumstances. And right here, this top, if we did poke just a little bit higher and fail, then I get really interested in that trade because of this. Okay, on a 7-minute chart, because of this on an hourly chart. Now, does either of those guarantee the market trades lower? Nope, there's no guarantees. Okay, but at some point, gotta be willing to throw on a trade, see what happens. The euro today was a real sleepy fella. Look at this.
It was.
This guy's.
Yeah.
This is a 500 contract chart where you typically see, I don't know, like crazy stuff like this, you know? Big goings on. But today was a snooze fest. What are they? Is it a holiday? Are they waiting on some new news? Is there any? Do we have anything to explain why? It was so quiet.
I can stretch it and make it look like
there was more to it. Yeah, there you go.
It was difficult this morning. I didn't take any trades on it this morning, which is odd. A little out of character. Even the pre-market this morning was not really very good for trading. Usually you'll get something in the pre-market. It'll have some good movement, but not today.
People always want to know, well, can't you just trade that MA1? The backbone of that CFRN indicator set? Can't you? Well, you could. I mean, blue is bullish, red is bearish. But you're going to have to be willing to do what most traders are not willing to do, and that's deal with losses. There's certain periods of the day where, you know, that does not serve you well, okay? And then you come into a spot like this where it serves you quite well. Gives you what looks like the trade of the day there. From 1:44:48 up to 1:44:75. I mean, that's a big move, 30 pips for this day. Then you had this little shout. So see, you gotta have some kind of backdrop. You gotta have some kind of understanding of where you want to be, what's going on in the bigger picture. You know, where weekly zones are, something. I mean, it's easy to pull this out and abstractly go, well, yeah, see, when this went blue, all you had to do was be long. And when this went red, all you had to do was be short. And when this went blue, all you had to do was be long. But see, it's easy to paint that picture for you after the fact. And you can go through long periods of time where that plays like a symphony. But then you run into what I just showed you, some troubled waters. And you might go, well, yeah, but I could snip enough out of that to satisfy me. Well, okay, if you have that skill set, then you might be that person who just wants to trade the MA1, you know? The key is to own the indicator so that you have the opportunity to play with it, work with it, practice with it, experiment with it, find out what you can do. Of course, you can take the free trial by simply going to cfrn.net/apply. It really is that simple. We've made it pretty simple for you.
Yeah.
Crude's
yeah.
Gotten back over $100 a barrel, trading $100.52 on the September contract. Now, this is a daily chart, guys. We've been looking at the hourly on the ES, so I always get questions. Well, okay, that whole potential trend change thing, you know, that you show us on the hourly chart and some of your other, you know, time frame charts and other markets. Does that thing, what about on a daily chart? If I want to really get a big picture idea. Well, here's a potential change of trend. We're just choppy up here. See, when you get in this kind of chop from $100 a barrel to $103.50, I don't know if you can handle that. Can you? Maybe you can.
That is significant.
See, it is, and I always want to be. I don't want to paint some. I want you to take off the rose-colored glasses and look at the reality, because that's what we always try to show you, is the reality. You know, there's so much deception in the world of trading. Hey, look how this looks. I want you to look at this and not see what I'm trying to show you. I want you to see the truth. Okay, and that's what I'm trying to show you, is the truth. I could try to just convince you about how much money you could have made off of this one move, but I'm telling you, it's not as easy as it looks. Okay, price was moving higher, price is failing, price gets on the back side of the MA1, you actually get a white candle, potential change of trend, and then it does become a true story that price in one day drops from $110 all the way down to $99. That's a $10 move in crude. And then the next day it drops another $4, $3. Okay. Price then gets on the other side. You get a potential change of trend. And you go nowhere. See? And you get a potential change of trend here, and guess what? Nice move from $100 all the way down to $90, another $10 move. So you have to ask yourself on these larger time frames, are you the guy who can handle a substantial drawdown and or loss and then turn right around and take the next trade? And you really have to ask yourself, it doesn't matter if you're trading, you know, crude that has a large margin, blah blah, and which really, you're really talking about a lot of money when you get into trading crude. But if you're just trading even something, you know, very tame, I don't know, the NQ or the YM or whatever you see as being tame, you still have to ask yourself that same question. Can I handle the drawdown? Can I handle the loss? Am I willing to honor my stop? And when I do get stopped out, when I do have a losing trade, and you're going to have losing trades because that's part of trading, that's the truth about trading, will I be willing to take the next trade that comes along? Because if you got bummed out on this, okay, and lost a couple bucks, and because of that remorse, failed to take this, which handed you, $10 over a period of some days. This is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. And can you stay in a trade for 9 days? I mean, really? Maybe you can. Maybe that's where you excel. Maybe that's what you specialize in. And so if you are that individual, then my goodness, this could be a great tool for you. I'm not trying to sell it to you as that tool, but it might be the tool you need in your tool belt or in your toolbox to help you make this type of a trade. Okay. It is very rare that I have a futures position open overnight, not on the YM, the Dow, anything. Now, I may open a position overnight, but I'm not holding from one day to the next day. You know, if I see something really good on the overnight, I may put a trade on, I might tweet about it, I might put it on the blog, but for the most part, close the day, I'm flat. In fact, I'm usually flat long before the close of the day because I'm gone by the close of the day. Okay, we keep inching up here, trying to get there. Yesterday, we had talked about the potential of 42. David had brought that up. That was a key number for him, that we could hit that. And we had our number just slightly below that, and so that turned out to be the high of the day there. 7 minute. Look at, we're inching right back up to that thing. Guys, we're going to get a reaction here. Okay. Just put it in your diary.
Working its way back up.
Dear diary, Dwayne said we're going to get a reaction at 1333. I ain't fooling. Now, see this? See this? This is monkey business. Okay. Not monkey mind. That's a whole different thing. This is monkey business. Right here. See how we started to turn down and we turn back up. Okay. I don't even want to be in a trade like that. See if this pulls back here to give us some kind of a long entry. I'm not falling for that. I just won't. I'll wait for something clearer, because for me that gets confusing at best. Alright, Michael, what else can we entertain the good folks with for 3 more minutes?
Well, if you jump over to the 10,000, well, you'll see that kind of monkey business didn't happen over there.
You see? No, it's trying.
So it is trying, but if we do get the push down here off of 33, then I think we'll see that move down and probably bury itself down in the oversold area. That's what I think. You know, we should probably, from 33, we should probably expect, I don't know what, 6-point move probably. Something like that, I would think. You know, we have the potential for that to happen here. Let's see. Yeah, did we cover the YM at all this morning? I mean, it started to drop like a stone at the open. It pulled back up. It gave us an entry opportunity. Then it gave us another one, but it was not a good place to enter for reasons that I discussed in the room. Then it gave us a couple more entries on the wrong side.
Coming in here and here. And it got long, took us right back up.
Yep.
And then we bounced right back up there again. And this thing's about overdone.
Sandwich? Sandbox? Sandwich. That's right, the sandwich. I remember that one. Mm. Yeah, it's pretty well cooked. If we jump over again to that 1 hour. This morning, we had used a couple of different time frames to identify a great spot to enter that move down, and it moved down 9 points, I think, just about 9 points from the spot that we had identified. And then on the way back up, we had pretty much identified where it was going to start moving from. Actually, one of our partners, who I think is in here right now, had asked if that was going to be a good spot for it. And you see, is in here.
Yeah, Ryan.
Had asked if that was going to be a good spot for it, and you already went over this, but you already went over the actual spot. But we identified the reasons why it would be, compared to the reasons why you might not want to take that trade, and overall, the reasons for taking the trade, I think, were the risk reward on the trade was 2-1, and it just looked like a good place to enter.
Now, I'm going to say this again. I mean, I realize that we like have this little business where we have our indicator set and our trading program and all of that. But I'm just going to, I'm just going to say it anyway, guys. Does a white candle always mean there's going to be a substantial move? No. I know it looks that way because from here we ran up, 20 points. And then off of here we ran down 20 points, and then from here we ran up 5 points, and from down here we ran, depending on which candle you traded off of, 3-5 points, and I know you're all going, well, gee, that's all I need. I make great living with that. And up here 3-5 points, and down here 9 points. It is true that trade foo is taught here daily, right?
Yeah, trade foo. Yeah.
You knew I had to go there at some point. Trade foo is taught here daily. Okay, but part of trade foo is telling you the truth. We also layer in some truth foo. Yeah, because, I don't know, man. It'd be so easy to just paint this up as, I could put lipstick all over this pig. But I just want you guys to know the truth. That this after the fact stuff, and I pointed it out last night, I even made videos, and it's hard for me to make videos because I always somehow manage to crash my computer or do something, But for you guys, I go the extra mile. And so what I need is I need a separate computer. Oh, yeah. I just came up with an excuse to buy yet another computer. My wife walks in here and she looks around and she goes, how many you got now? I go, well, here, let me count. So there's one, two, three, four. Now, honey, did you mean turned on or in sleep mode? She goes, how many motherboards are in this room? Well, here, let's see. Carry the one. Yeah, you don't want to know. And so then she'll see me, like, we'll be at Walmart or somewhere else, and I'll be over in the computer aisle. She'll look at me, she'll go, really? Another one? What room in our house doesn't have... Well, you know, honey, the laundry room's kind of bare. I mean, I realize there's a small processor inside, there's a small chip in the washing machine, but, you know, it's just, it's not a real computer. But I'm thinking, yeah, if I had one that was... Oh, downstairs in the cabinet, I have a G5. Those are great for making videos. Unfortunately, you can't run charts on those. That's a problem. How did Apple never figure or work that out? Is there anyone in this room right now running charts on an Apple computer? Or do we have any Apple fanboys or girls in the audience? Talk to me. Come on. I guess that would be a big no.
Yes, a resounding no.
Not one. All right. Fair enough. So anyway, I made videos last week pointing out... God, I forgot what I was trying to brag about, but I went to the trouble of making a video to point out... point out that after the fact it looks really easy, but in real time it's a different story. See, this is real time. Okay, here's the question: are you going to sell 13-3275 or not? Okay. Now later on, it'll be real easy to look back and go, "Oh my goodness, how could I have missed that?" If in fact price sells off. Okay. So you got to make a decision. You got to go, "All right, boy, it sure looks good." Oh, man. Okay, but right here, El Conflicto, all right? This is a bicycle. But remember the funny business on the cycle? So I said if it comes back, gives me a buy signal, I'm not interested. Now, a faster gun, a sharper shooter might say, you know what? I'll pull the trigger for a bounce back to test the high. Okay. I mean, you can do that because that's one of the crazy things about being in the trading business. You're your own boss, you know, and that's what gets most of us into trouble. You know, very few bosses could also be employee of the month because, you know, it's easy to slave drive somebody else, but when it's yourself, when you wanted to make yourself follow all the rules, yeah, here's the handbook, you know, here's the guidelines, you know, this came with the franchise. You got to make the sandwich exactly like this. You got to toast the bread for exactly 42 seconds. And it has to be at, you know, 189 degrees or whatever. We have a hard time being that rigorous with ourselves. You know, it's close enough. The Subway and McDonald's and Starbucks, they didn't get to where they are by being, close enough. Now, Papa Grandinetti, he did, but he only has two locations. The other guys I mentioned have tens of thousands of locations, right? See the difference? So, this being your own boss thing, I don't know, man. What do you think? What do you think, Michael? You like being your own boss?
You definitely have to be up for it, and being your own boss is it's a huge responsibility you're putting on yourself.
I'll say this the end here. I'll say it anyway, whether it's in here or not. Anyway, nope. I guess you're not in here. Where are you, man? Who's in here? I didn't make an organizer. Oh. Anyway, my phone rang for like the third time the other day. My wife goes, "Who keeps?" And I was in the middle of doing something, so I couldn't answer my phone. And my wife says, "Who keeps calling you?" I said, "My boss." And she's like, what?
She said, wait a minute, I'm your boss.
Said, what do you mean your boss? I said, oh, this new guy, Dwayne, works with us. He's like my boss now. He's making me do all the stuff that I've known I should do for like a really long time, organize this stuff and get these different things together. And she goes, so you hired a boss? I go, yeah, kind of, you know, and it's helping me to sort of rise to the occasion. So there you go, folks. You can be your own boss and then realize you actually need somebody to still tell you what to do. Because you already know what you need to do, but because you're the boss, you don't actually have to do it, right? So I'm telling you, it's a challenge. I know it's the American dream, own your own business, blah, blah, blah. And it is, you know, I've owned my own business now outside of this business for a number of years, and it was one of the best times in my life. But I had a lot of people to do all the things that I knew needed to be done that I didn't really want to do, right? I could actually hire people to do those things. And so when you're it's one thing to be the boss and have a lot of employees. It's another thing to be the boss, and you as the boss also have to do every single job, wear every single hat. That's where it gets a bit tricky. I mean, if you're a born leader, that's one thing, but can you discipline yourself? It's kind of hard, you know. I admit it's hard. So anyway, I'm going to go, Michael, unless you have something else you'd like to add at this point, I'm going to go to Vegas.
Nope, you can jump out to Vegas if you want. Dell, I'll answer your question in text, all right, so look for it in the text.
Now, folks, for those of you who are relatively new to this radio program, we've been doing this for 6 years now, and the gentleman that is about to take the center stage, Mr. David Williams from PageTrader.com, he has been on this show for about 5 of those 6 years. So, short break, and we'll be right back with David.
You're listening to CFRN, a community of believers who trade for a living. To learn more about who we are, what we do, and how we do it, call toll-free 1-866-928-3310. And we'll send you out a no-obligation information kit absolutely free. 866-928-3310.
Good morning, Dwayne.
Good morning, David.
How are you?
I'm good, brother. Nothing says bromance like Spiral Staircase.
Isn't it true?
It is. How are you?
Good morning, Michael. I'm doing well. And Michael, how are you?
I'm all right, David. How are you?
Good. That song should represent your vacation that you took. You probably had some nice times.
Yes. Yes, we definitely had some nice times. It is now getting back into the normal stuff.
Routine, yeah.
Yes, the routine.
Well, right. Dwayne, yes, I'm at your disposal. Where would you like to go?
Well...
And what was your thing, not Kung Fu, but what was the thing that you did earlier?
Trade.
I like that. Trade Fu.
It's right. That's on good. The screen, taught here daily.
That's good.
Call Sensei Sachs to arrange a free class. Sometimes I just crack myself. It's not easy being Dwayne Reeves, but sometimes it's kind of fun. You know, I'll say that.
Well.
See, you get to do this. I didn't have to check with anybody, you know. I just did it because I'm my own boss, right? You know? I mean, I answer to a higher authority, yes. But, I mean, anyway, creative license. What do you want to talk about, David Williams? Have we seen the high of the day? Let me ask you that. Let me get right to the hard question.
I don't have a forecast for whether we've seen the high of the day yet.
I do have a couple of things if we're going to jump right to markets.
No,
I'd
we
like
can.
To,
no, if you got other stuff you want to talk about, I'm happy to talk about them.
No, I actually wanted to talk about a different market. And we can talk about anything you'd like, but let's jump over to soybeans real quick.
Sure.
And for people who are following along, this is the November soybean contract. That's X, whatever your symbol is, it would be X for November.
Michael, I'm lost. Oh, it's ZX, is that right?
Yeah, that's right. It's actually ZSX. ZSX. There you go.
If you want to put up a daily chart, that would be the most usable for what we're going to go over here.
There we go, David, daily.
Okay, well, there you are. You know, I've wondered about your bars. I just want to ask you this question. Your bars are all blue. How do you know whether the open was higher than the close, which you would normally know, or those are blue because of a signal in your system?
It's part of a signal in our system, blue, bullish. And I only use these on certain charts, and I can always turn it off or use a different chart to help
demonstrate.
No,
it's fine.
What you
I
want.
Can use whatever you have.
Well,
but I know
that this closed bearish because of the downward movement. And see, let me just give you a tiny little primer. Red candle is bearish. Okay, white candle is a potential change of trend. Mm-hmm. And so after we get the white candle, then we're bullish, and we continue to look to buy the market. If we're using that, and now I'm on a daily chart, and I don't typically,
right.
I was just showing this off on a daily, but yeah, and so.
Okay, so it's a paint bar thing in a sense.
It is,
where
exactly.
You have the bars painted. Okay, I was only questioning because yesterday's soybean market had a down close, and it's not really reflected in the paint bar study. It can be reflected in other ways, but I got it. So I was just looking and trying to clarify that for myself.
For the purpose of demonstration here today, would it be potentially better if I just went to an ordinary kind of chart? Would that help show things off better? Because it's not
it
a
would.
Problem.
If you want to, you can. It's
yeah,
not really
let me
super
just,
important. But
bounce over to
it. It would
chart.
Make it a little clearer.
Okay. I'll just take... Oh, I know what I'll do.
If it's too much trouble, Duane, don't worry about it.
No, it's really... I don't ever use this thing. Really, not much. This Russell chart. Oh, but that one's got the blue stuff on it, too.
Don't worry, Duane, it's okay.
No. All right, let's go Z.
All right.
ZSX1.
Oh, there you are.
Oh, Gemini crickets. All right, let me get rid of all those drawing objects. Let's go to area. Auto min max. Come off that 7-minute business. Go to a daily. All right, there we go.
Oh, now you're talking.
There's that big old red candle you were looking
for. That's good. That's what I wanted to see. I wanted to be able to show yesterday's... I think it's important for this to talk a little bit about it. We had... talked earlier in the week, and I think late last week, or maybe it was just earlier this week, I can't remember, but that the thing that we would have liked to have seen for soybeans was for them to top on July 22nd and then to go down and touch $13.73 on Monday, July 25th, and then close above $13.70, and if they did those three things, the market would have a good, powerful advance off of the July 25th bottom. So we were basically not truly forecasting, but we were saying this is what we'd like to see. It really was based on a forecast, but the natural thing for the market to do would be top onto the 22nd. Bottom on the 25th, one day later, close above 1370, and then have a powerful advance off that level. And as it worked out, that's exactly what the market did. Yesterday, as you can see on your chart, they did spike dramatically lower, all the way down to 1358. And on the program yesterday, I said if they close above 1370, that leaves the original indication intact, which is that we would then look for a multi-day or a powerful advance off of this time frame. This is a for people who are a little more technically oriented, this is a good example of blending separate techniques together to come up with one unified forecast for what the market would do under a given set of conditions. Technique number one is reflected wave, which would call for a bottom on July 25th. Technique, and so that was the date for the low. Technique number two, technique number one would look for a top on July 22nd for all the reasons we've talked about recently about the date of July 22nd. For those of you that are new, we look at a number of different markets and generate the turning points on those individual markets, and if they match up or are very close, that gives us an extra amount of confidence in the turning point for the market that we're trading or forecasting it. So we were looking, A, for a top on July 22nd. We looked for that top in soybeans and in, I believe, the Japanese yen and in the S&P, and you can see all those markets. There's a few others as well. All those markets did have important reversals off of that date. So that technique was either a combination of reflected wave as the top, or it was part of a roadmap. In the soybean forecast, it was part of a roadmap. So we were blending a roadmap forecast, which looks for a top on the 22nd. We're looking for a bottom then on July 25th based on reflected wave. And then if that bottom confirmed by closing above $13.70, then we're looking for a sizable advance off that low because that bottom happens to tie in with a volatility cycle. So roadmap, reflected wave, volatility cycle, three separate techniques blended into one forecast. Now, that's a little bit advanced because you're using multiple indications. You know, you're comfortable with multiple different setups and blending them together, very much like how sometimes people will put together, and we talk about it on the program, multiple time frames, which I've mentioned a number of times that multiple time frames are very valuable to understand and have a working knowledge. I spoke to somebody this morning who has a really good working knowledge of multiple time frames, and that makes a person much more faster to learn something advanced about the markets, because the more you delve into the markets, the more you realize that the market is expressing itself on different time frames, and that it focuses on certain time frames for a period of time, and then things change, and it now focuses its attention on a different time frame. It expresses itself in a different way, very much like your garden expresses itself by growing roses for a while, and then the roses stop, and then something else comes into bloom, and the perennials come back, or whatever. That type of rotation, so to speak, occurs in the market with regard to time frames. So this whole idea about using multiple techniques means that you're now tying in time frames and an individual technique, several individual techniques, to make a forecast. So that is one reason why it's a good idea to learn about multiple time frames, to study the market on different time scales, and let yourself, don't burn yourself on it, just watch the market trade on significantly different time frames so that you can see the action and how the market acts and how it plays out over across time on different time frames. And quite naturally, you'll start to pick up interesting information about the market's expression on a particular time frame. When I say expression, I mean how it looks on the price chart to you. It looks sometimes dramatically different on even nearby price charts. The difference between a 5, as an example, and a 15-minute chart can be substantial. And that difference can give you an insight into which time frame the market really is working on, and or a really good trade setup that you might not have seen had you only been looking at one particular thing. And then later, you can do the same thing with multiple techniques. You can put a number of different techniques together as they occur in a particular trading setup. In this particular case, a roadmap for a top on the 22nd, a forecast for a bottom on the 25th based on reflected wave, and then also a volatility cycle for the 25th, which would force the market to reverse and have a fast, sharp move up, which I've demonstrated on a number of occasions. The value of having the volatility cycle, even independently, just without regard to putting together more complicated forecasts. So anyway, I just wanted to point that out because I'm delighted. I love doing this type of work, and it's a delight to see the market react to those types of things, especially when you get into more complicated setups where each one of them, it's almost like pulling off the perfect bank heist or something, where everything has to be right for it to do the thing that you're talking about. And in this particular case, it worked out exactly the same. I think the only thing that surprised me in this was that they went a little bit lower than I thought they needed to when they went down to 58 yesterday. That was a little deeper than I would have liked to have seen them go. But they ended up closing above the 1370, which validated both the volatility cycle and the turning point that was due on the 25th. So somebody had asked once about all these turns that are clustered together, and you can see this forecast had a turning point as a top on the 22nd and then immediately as a bottom on the 25th. And so when you get into, for lack of a better word, just cycle work, as you get more advanced in it, you can see that there are setups where it looks like it's one day or the other, it's just plus or minus a day, maybe for one cycle, but it really is two separate things occurring, that one of them is a top and the next one is a bottom. And so the market would have, these fast, types of reversals. And this type of setup isn't something that's going to happen every day. You have to be watching the market and reading it to see if all the things that you are looking for are in place. And so sometimes cycles can be very far apart, and sometimes they can be very close together. And when they're close together, like they were for the 22nd top and 25th bottom, there are usually volatile moves that occur between those. And I've mentioned this before. One of our techniques is called a squeeze, which is when two cycles come very close together, and the way that price moves as they get closer and closer together. There are certain characteristics that price will do, and we call that a squeeze. And it's called a squeeze because the cycles are squeezing price. That, in a sense, these two lines are coming together and price is right in between them. And so kind of like a tube of toothpaste or something, the price squirts from one level to the next. And that particular, we use that in Messenger Pro. We demonstrate that. We haven't had one in a long time because I've kind of moved to a broader picture. The squeeze is a very independent, separate thing. And roadmaps and reflected wave are broader than that. So I've sort of leaned on those more. But the squeeze can be very effective, and it's a very interesting phenomena. I've never revealed to anybody what a squeeze is, and I've never explained it anywhere except on this radio program, as I just did. And I think I explained it one time earlier. It's a very, all the stuff that I develop, these things take time to see, they take time to think about, they take time to work out. But now that I've mentioned it, you might want to, if you are technically minded, think about some of the things that I'm saying here and see if some of them apply to you. You don't have to be particularly advanced in your application. You just have to be open to the idea that these things exist and that you can find them by studying the market and putting your own sort of outside the box thinking to work, and even your own indicators. You can use indicators differently than I'm not just talking about Dwayne's and Michael's, but you can use indicators differently than you might think that they could be used. As an example, stochastics or a very simple indicator, you might come up with a different way to utilize that information. And a lot of people will say, indicators, that's a lagging, so, that doesn't help me. And, that's one of those statements, to be quite honest with you, that is really easy to say, but it's not very well thought out. It is true that, for the most part, all indicators are lagging, that price movement has to occur first. But that doesn't mean that because price movement has to occur first, that there isn't valuable information that could be gotten out of that indicator. So that argument that you hear people make You know, indicators are lagging, so there's really no value there. You know, price is leading the indicator. That is true. But they're taking a jump and a leap there, and people are so quick to do this. I am too, and that's why I always suggest to people that you think about what it is you know or what you think you know, because a lot of times you come to conclusions, and those conclusions are like a wall that stops you from ever even investigating beyond that. So if you find yourself saying, "Well, it's always that's just a lagging thing. That doesn't do nothing."
Yep. You know what? There's a really good argument out there that price itself is a lagging indicator.
Yeah, there's another whole subject there. But I'm only suggesting that you realize that if you come to a conclusion about something, that conclusion is literally a wall, and you won't even visit that wall. You're like a guy in a prison walking around, you know, or we are. And you won't even go to the edge of the prison to push on the fence a little bit, because you believe in the fence. You believe that fence is real. And so there's no need to put your hands on it. There's no need to push it. There's no need to kind of pull on it a little bit. No need to go there. It's real. And that's what a conclusion does. A conclusion acts like a wall, and you don't even need to visit it anymore. It just goes to work, and it just stays in your brain as a conclusion. So careful of conclusions. There's nothing wrong with a conclusion, but what is wrong is that you're not willing to investigate a conclusion. And you've got thousands of them. I do too. But it's a good idea to take one or two of them. You could even make a project out of them, out of this, if you really wanted to spend a little time with this. And you could say, I'm going to take one conclusion a day that I've come to. I'm going to discover one conclusion. Throughout the day, I'm just going to write down on a piece of paper, okay, here's something. Here's a conclusion. I'll write that down. And then maybe, you know, a few hours later you're talking, you realize, wow, that's a conclusion I've also come to. Just make yourself a list. It's fun. It's kind of fun to do. And let your mind, don't dig for it. Just go about living your daily life. And then just in the back of your mind, remember, I'm going to try to see what conclusions I've come to. And they could be regarding anything. It could be the simplest to the most complex. But at some point you'll go, oh, that's a conclusion. Yeah, okay, and then you'll make that little note. And then maybe later that day or the next day you'll have another one. And in a pretty short period of time, you'll have a nice list of conclusions that you've come to. Now, we have to live on conclusions. I know that the floor that my chair is sitting on, I've concluded that it's solid enough for me to sit on and that the floor is not going to break anytime soon and drop me through to the next floor below me. And that's a practical conclusion. So there are practical conclusions, and then there are also much more mental conclusions, if you will, ideas about yourself, ideas about markets, ideas about indicators, et cetera, et cetera. Those are the ones that I really want you to investigate. I'm not so concerned about your conclusion about the chair being on the floor and the floor being solid. More about the ones where we've come to conclusions about perhaps the market. So let's say one of your conclusions is that price itself, you know, is the leader and the indicators are the lagger, and that you've heard, certainly somebody has said it to you, because people love to grind people on their little ideas. You know, that's a lagging indicator there. That can't do any good, you know. That's true. It is a lagging indicator, but what isn't true or what may not be true is that it therefore has no value. And so take some time and investigate your own conclusions. I'm telling you right now that the idea that because indicators are lagging that they have no value is incorrect. It's wrong. Not only is it wrong, it's dead wrong. It's really wrong. Way wrong. What was that fighting term that you used?
Trade Blaine? Foo.
Trade foo wrong. It's when something's really wrong, it's trade foo wrong. And so that's a single conclusion. Take some other conclusions and just investigate them. Walk over to the walls, put your hand on the walls and feel them. Test them out. Remember I told that story about the man who lives in the house and he's lived there 40 years.
Right,
he knows
right.
all about the house. And one day he's in a room and he's painting that room and he puts his hand on one of the walls and he just leans on it. And suddenly the whole wall rolls back, almost like in a Twilight Zone. The whole wall rolls back about 5 feet. And suddenly his room is now 5 feet bigger in all dimensions than it was a few seconds ago. And this is from a man who's lived in the house 40 years. He's thinking to himself, what is this? and he pushes the wall, and he tentatively puts his hands on it again, and he pushes it, and the wall keeps moving until finally the room is 20 feet bigger than it was. He's been in this home 40 years, and he's never touched this wall. And suddenly he realizes that the wall pushes back, and there's 20 new feet of room that he never knew was available to him. Now, forget, you know, for practical purposes, obviously, the outside of the house would have to be shaped in such a way to accommodate that. But you get the point that here's this man completely astonished that what he took as a solid wall actually was as easy as just pushing on a shopping cart, and the whole wall moved back and made his 10 by 10 room 20 by 20 or 10 by 20 or whatever it would be. Pretty amazing. That's what it feels like when you investigate a long-held but non-investigated conclusion about anything. Markets, yourself, your relationship to people, the way you think you are, all these things that you've concluded. So I really suggest that you take some time and investigate some of your market conclusions and see how real they are. Because as soon as you accept it as real, you never need to walk over to that wall and put your hands on it. And therefore, you're always going to be confined. When somebody says to you, well, try to think outside the box, what you're trying to do is you're really being locked in by these unseen conclusions. And you say, well, how do I think outside the box? I don't know what to do. Well, the box consists of those conclusions. That's the outline of the box. So in order for you to think outside the box, you need to investigate the walls that make up the box. And that's what we're talking about doing. It's a wonderful exercise. It goes much further than markets, but it can be very, very useful to and for you to investigate what you think you know about markets or what conclusions. This is one of the reasons, again, I've talked about stopping reading trading manuals, books, books about traders, books about, you know, the stock market magazines. It's not because they are inherently bad, but what they do is they reinforce other people's non-investigated conclusions upon you, and you just swallow it whole. They'll just throw it right in there. Well, we all know that prices are lagging indicators, so what we did, and they're just feeding, as you're reading this, they're just reinforcing their own non-investigated conclusions, and they just, like an infection, they pass it on to you. So if you're going to take the idea of the task of going into this and investigating your conclusions about markets, it would be a really good idea to stop reading about markets and about other people's conclusions so that you can start to think for yourself and investigate for yourself. Everything God gave to the greatest man who's ever lived, he also gave to you. You just don't know it. You are that guy. You just don't know it. It's all there. It's all there. And if you ask me how I know it's all there, I'm going to tell you to do what I'm telling you, and you're going to find for yourself that you're capable of far more, far greater than you could ever imagine by simply doing this one thing: investigate the walls. Because the only thing that's keeping you from the recognition that there's much bigger and much greater for you is the unseen conclusion that it's not there. That's one of your conclusions. This is all I can do. This is all I was meant for. See, it goes deeper and deeper and deeper. And ultimately, you find that you don't want, once you see one of these conclusions at work and you recognize that it operates by itself, once you have accepted it as true, it goes to work. Once you see through one of those, I'll tell you, you'll start to get on fire for finding more of them, because you'll start to realize, well, wait a minute, that was really good. I saw through that. I recognized the conclusion. Just the seeing of it starts to break it apart. And then before you know it, you want to go find the next thing that's been a false wall to you, and the next, and the next, and the next. And suddenly, you start to realize, if you can do that, what can't you do? Because the only can't in your life was from your own acceptance and your non-investigation of walls that you yourself, through inadvertence, allowed to be built up by your own mind and by other people feeding you, or things being that you read, you saw on TV, etc. So you can start with this. And I'll just tell you right now, as a fact, that indicators are lagging, but they have and can have immense value. Even though we don't particularly use indicators in our work, there's an enormous insight that you can get into markets by playing with indicators in a different way and thinking about them in a different way and going breaking through those conclusions that they may or may not do you any good. And remember, if the indicator isn't your particular thing, if you've already pushed through that wall and you're playing with them and studying them, good. Now go find another one, because there are, you've got other walls in there. And those walls also revolve around, like I said before, things that your dealings with people, your feeling about yourself, women, men, the whole business of living, but also in trading. And you'd be surprised. There probably, I mean, do I have to say it? There's probably some unseen conclusions that you've come to about how much money you can make out of the market. And believe it or not, if you have that conclusion that you're never going to make more than $2,000 a month, I'm just throwing this out there, you know, just as a thing, if that conclusion is in your mind that you're never really going to, you know, I kind of know who I am and I'm kind of the person that would never really get to this point. I'm not like this person over here. I'm kind of like this person here, and that makes me less. And you've come to those conclusions and become very comfortable with them. I can assure you that if you start to do well in the markets, that conclusion will then operate. And what will it do? It'll make darn sure that you never make more than $2,000 a month. And is that an external force that's working on you? Is there some external evil that is crashing you and causing you to do that? No, no. The funny and amazing thing is that there's no external force needed at all. It's just your own mind working wrongly. It's your own hypnotized conclusion that's making that happen. So doesn't it sound like a really good idea to start to investigate, write down, and I'll get onto the other things now, but I just want to say this. If 1 out of 10 people will do this. Everybody wants to say, oh, that's good, that's great, but nobody does it. So be the nobody. Be the one guy that does it. Don't be the nobody, but be the one guy. And that is, go through your day, and when I plant the seed in your mind, if I come up with a conclusion that I think I've already come to that I can see operating, I'm just going to write it down and do that. I would love to hear from somebody that does that, because if they want to come on the road or type it in, come on the radio or type it in, it'd be very interesting to hear if you're willing to do it. There's all kinds of them, whether it's related to markets or whatever. And just the mere awareness that they're there already, just the consciousness, wow, there's one, you write it down, just that alone already starts to break its hold on you. You don't have to do anything with it. It starts to break its hold. Just the mere, like the monkey mind thing that Dwayne read the other day, just the mere bare knowledge, the awareness of the fact that it's there already starts to break its hold. And before you know it, I'm telling you, this is a small doorway that can lead to really big rooms. So take me up on that. And I'd love to hear from somebody who's done a little of that for themselves. It's something that I don't want hidden, unseen, non-investigated mental concepts blocking my life. I don't know about you, but I don't want that. I don't want it in the markets. I don't want it when I'm talking to a policeman. I don't want it when I'm ordering food at a restaurant. I don't want it at all. I don't want those conclusions dictating my life. And I don't think you want it either. So start with that. I really think that's it's a wonderful thing to do, and it'll take you places and can change entirely the kind of day-to-day, hour-by-hour, minute-by-minute, second-by-second life that you're leading. It's not changing because you changed it. It's changing because of the absence of these ideas, these conditioned walls. They're just gone, and you have a freedom to do and say and be and laugh and cry any old way you might want to, where right now you're quite constrained by a long list of conclusions that are literally a prison cell. And on a really good day, what a good day to a prisoner is he doesn't see the walls. That's a good day to a prisoner in jail. That's not the kind of good day I want. I want a good day to me is when there are no walls, not when I just don't see them. Okay, I'll move on from that. But I hope that's helpful and interesting.
You said it well. Yeah. Now people have to take it to the next. They have to. You gotta download that into your own life, and actually put it to work. Otherwise, it's just like a good idea. The world's full of good ideas. Ah, my goodness. You said something there, David, about taking it on the road.
Mm-hmm.
And, dude, I saw the motorhome. I saw the massive motorhome that's all decked out inside, but all this tricked out treating. We got flat panels, and we got all of this. It says CFRN on one side, and it says Page Trader on the other. And we go from town to town, and we set up shop and trade each day and meet the local folks and let them tour through the bus. I think it's more like a tour bus than a motorhome. Mm-hmm. It's kind of a hybrid sort of a thing that you and I would build. And it would have like these really, cool sort of antennas that go up like a news truck, like when we pull into Mayberry and we park there at the Bilo, the little antenna goes up on top, like a satellite dish, it finds Johnny, wherever he's at, sending us data and stuff. And people come through and they trade and they learn about, wow, that could be our summer adventure 2012.
I'm there, Dwayne.
Are you?
Yeah, I'm right there. That's good. I like it. I mean, your imagery, you went very far with that, just in the little short time we were talking. Okay.
What trade will do for you?
It's Dwayne's and David's great adventure.
Now we just need to get somebody from like the Discovery Channel or one of those other channels to follow along and film it so they can finance the whole thing.
That's right.
Yeah,
there you go.
This is huge. All right.
Let's move on to the markets. We were looking at soybeans. So right now, soybeans has done a nice move up off of that bottom. Today, they will have trouble closing in soybeans, and we'll move on to another market above 1387. Now, does that number sound a bell? Ring the bell to you? Remember, 1387 was the number that we had forecast that when the bottom had the June 23rd weekly bottom, the market would advance to $13.87 and have trouble closing above that level. And they certainly did advance to $13.87. They spiked way above it, all the way to $14.09, but still were not able to close above it. And then recently they closed at $13.88, and then another day they closed at $13.88.
Wait, what market
are
you
today,
in now? Hang on.
In soybeans. But notice today that they rallied up to $13.90, and so, of course, the first place that we'd be interested in taking, obviously we're not in this trade. We didn't message this out. But the first place that we'd be looking to take a profit would be $13 and at or near $13.87, because that level is the natural target that brought prices all the way from $12.92 back on the week of June 28th all the way up to $13.87. So certainly that power is still at work here off of a bottom that was forecast for July 25th. So you can see how these levels play in and that we tie all this stuff together. It's not as complicated. I really want to assure you that it's not as complicated as it sounds verbally to do this. It sounds like, well, I would never have thought of that, or I would never this. No, you would actually think of it if you were in front of it and seeing it visually, because most people, I know I am, and I think almost everybody is, most people are much more powerful processing visually than they are perhaps audio-wise. And some people are much more powerful audio, but I think more people are, they process visual. There's so much more information coming in, and they do much better with that. So visually, this is a lot easier than it sounds. When it's turned into words, it gets a little wordy, and we don't process the words as well. So anyway, if we do close today, obviously, if we close above 1387 by more than a penny or two, that would be a much stronger position for soybeans, and it would indicate the potential for higher prices as well. So we'll see how that plays out a little bit later today. We're trading at 1384. We're reacting off the 1387 level right now. So, okay, let's move on to, if you'd like, to quickly the S&P. This is a quiet day. We did go down today and test the 1326 level. It went slightly below that. I think they did go to 1325.50, and then we've advanced off that. today is one of those days where the quietness of the market, if you're new to markets, this would be a good day to practice trading, because the market is very quiet, and I like the idea of really trading in the real market. And if you do want to trade, you could do that today, and have a very you know, good chance of having some success, because the quietness of the market lets you stay in. It's not too busy, and all that stuff. Sorry, I'm kind of doing two things at once while I'm saying that to you. Let's see. I wanted to double check and see if there was something of great importance, if there was today in the S&P. On the S&P, you know, the July 22nd top that we've talked about has been, we're still reacting off that. We normally would expect a multi-day decline off of the July 22nd top, and so we're still in it, and lower prices are quite possible. I don't have an actual forecast right now, other than that we'll be, you know, going down for several days. This is one of the advantages, and excuse the sales pitch for reflected wave, because the knowledge that that turn is there, that's one thing, but there's much more. That knowledge allows you to know that not only is the market going to go down, but it's going to tend to want to go down for several days. So you actually, with this with reflected wave, you actually know the trend of the market for several days. That's a lot of information. It's going to be topping on the 22nd. That's reflected wave. But that also, that it wants to go down, that's two. If you have a top, you know it's going to go down. And then you know it's going to tend to want to go down. This is general, but it actually works out very well. It's going to tend to want to go down for several days. And that's a lot of information to be able to put into your trading plan, and to be able to sell rallies or you know, trade however you want to, with, you know, however your best use of that information would be. So you know, we're real quiet here, market's still going down. I did want to check real quick while we're talking here and see if there's anything really good that we could do with today.
Do you have a forecast, any new forecast lows or dates for a low in the S&P?
I will look for that in just a minute, but I do want to say this, that there's a lot of little stuff for today. It's not really big, but in today's you know, fifth or sixth hour, we're in the fourth hour right now. I can't say a lot about it, except that if we are putting in a bottom at that time, I would tend to want to buy that into the fifth hour anyway, fifth/sixth hour. There's a lot of stuff today, but it's kind of clustered together. It's not real, it's not really open the way that I'd like to see it. So we'll wait and see. You know, there may be something that we can do with this a little bit later. And let me just double check. And then with regards, I would want to go to a larger time frame and take a look at this. Let me just take another little look here. Okay. I'm sorry. The reason I don't have this up right now is because we've been very busy, and I just haven't had the chance to. I'd like to put some of the stuff together before we talk, Dwayne, but I didn't get a chance to do it on the S&P. For the S&P, let's talk about this a little bit. This is not a forecast. This is similar to what we did in the soybeans. So don't take it as a forecast, but July 27th and 28th have some importance there. And if we are continuing lower from here, the market's been quiet and there's not a lot of impetus on the downside, but if we do continue lower, if we do, into those dates, then I would want to take advantage of a reversal off of that time period. And that could be a very tradable reversal if this lines up that way. So we'll talk about this as we get a little bit closer to that date, which is just around the corner here, isn't it? So one of the things I'd like to do with that is I would want to buy it. And again, I want to see it play out. If it hits important price levels, which we'll talk about in the days to come here leading into that, then we would want to buy it for at least an 18-point reversal off the then current bottom. So although it's not an absolute forecast for the bottom that Dwayne just asked about, I would say that in the back of my mind, if we are going lower into the 27th or 28th, I would certainly want to take advantage of that type of reversal and take my first profits at the 18-point level above the then current low. Wherever I got in is not important, but you know, at around the 18-point level above there. So much in some of the same ways, I want to point something out to you, going back to what we talked about a little bit earlier, but about conclusions. In much the same way that we operate and we have practical conclusions like this wall is real and I can't walk through it, so I'm going to use the door, that's a good conclusion. We also have these other conclusions that we have about our life and who we are and mental pictures and et cetera that operate on their own, and when not investigated, they act as a wall and force us to do the same thing over and over again, even when we try not to. Well, in much the same way, the market has its own kind of a version of this where it wants to do what could be called the natural thing because the market itself has kind of come to a conclusion about certain things. And you could view it in that way. And one of those, this is a little bit of a stretch, but because the market is a collective, you know, force of all these people working and trading in it, but in many ways, certain price levels become, people conclude that they're important, et cetera. You can kind of follow what I'm saying. So you can think about the market in those terms as well, that there are certain levels that are going to be important to people. They've concluded that they're important. And in many ways, they are important because people have concluded the very same way that we've talked about cycles, how that we've all agreed that 7 days is a week and 31 days is a month and 12 months is a year. Well, that makes those cycles. The mere fact that everyone has agreed to it means already cycle. We've all agreed that that's when the thing, I mean, it goes without saying that we've agreed and therefore it is a cycle. So it's very interesting. If you think things through just a couple levels beyond what they told you in school, one or two levels beyond, you know, what your parents told you, it's not that you have to go very far. One or two levels can be completely enlightening if you'll just take the time to do it rather than just accept what people say and, you know, and repeat it. And that's why I try to stay away. And if I do read a magazine or something about it, I'm very conscious of people feeding their own conclusions to me about what they believe is true. And I can see in many cases, you know, I don't know it for a fact, but I think I can see in many cases that they don't realize that that thing that they're saying, they haven't investigated it either. And they're just passing it on, like I said, like an infection to others. So we've all been infected a little bit by that. Go ahead, Dwayne.
No, I was just laughing.
Oh, okay.
Chuckling.
You're like this.
No,
what's
chuckling.
That?
I was just chuckling.
Oh, chuckling. Okay, I thought it sounded like you were going to say that Chuck said something, but no, you were just chuckling. You're filled with old style words today. Chuckling. That's kind of an old word.
I don't know. I can't explain it.
I know.
I can't explain.
You're good. It's the Dwayne Reeves program.
Hey, okay. Jeff wants to know, he said you mentioned that you might have a new trade developing on the euro.
Yes, I wish I had more on the euro than I do, other than the recent call for the turns, but let's get over there real quick and let's take a look. A couple of days ago, we had called for a top in the euro. This is a great, please, everybody switch over to the euro. I want to show you this.
Want to go daily chart? Is that
daily chart's fine. And if you have your normal daily chart, Dwayne, that'd be good. The, you know, the one with where the candles are not paint barred.
Okay.
I want to show you this so you can see why one of our rules is one of our rules. So tell me when you have that up there. There you go.
Now I've got it up. Now it's
it's perfect. It's
this
perfect.
This is a day session. It does not have
it's
the
beautiful.
Globex. Okay.
No, it's fine.
All right.
Okay. Originally we talked about the 21st and 22nd being a top, or the 21st being a top in this market. But I mentioned that I wasn't going to sell short on it because they hadn't reached the important price on the upside. So in other words, the three dimensions of the market were not all doing and speaking the same thing when that top came in, which was the top came in at 144.13. I didn't send it out as a trade, and I mentioned that it hadn't gone to the important price. I think I even mentioned this yesterday. There's no really important price there that they stopped at. They did do the initial minimum 75-cent reversal on the downside. You know, in other words, 75-cent move down, 75 pips on the downside. They did do that. But the fact is that the price level that they would have normally made this turn at was at higher prices, and they turned before there. Therefore, time was running ahead of price. The turning point was occurring without the important price being reached. And that's why this was not sent out as a, even though there was a lot of indications for a turn on that date, as a trade. This is one of the recent ones, the why, if Bert says, well, how come you haven't sent out a trade to me? This one, this is a good example. The turning point for the 21st did not hit the natural price, but the turn was there. So what that means is that the market, in a sense, at least with regard to our viewpoint, is kind of out of sync. The turning point's occurring without the actual important price. And what's the rule? The rule is important turns occur at, Dwayne?
Important prices.
Important prices. And you can reverse that and say important prices, therefore, occur at important turns. Now, you can say to me, what is an important price?
Okay.
And I can teach you what an important price is. I'm not going to do it right at this minute, but you guys already know some important prices. Certainly, old highs and old lows are important prices. Mm-hmm. The market turned at those prices. So that's one form of an important price. And there's more different types of important prices as well. But when the turning point comes, it has to be a pretty obvious important price, because important turns occur at important prices. So in this particular case, I had mentioned that that did not occur. And you can see today now, instead of having that big multi-day reaction, they've now popped up, and now price is completing where they should have gone when it was associated with that date, okay, the June 21st top. So there's a great example. I hope I'm making this clear, because it's again, it's not visual unless you have your chart up, and it's verbal, but I'm trying to make it as easy to follow as I can. Let me say it this way. I would have been very interested in shorting the market on June 21st or June 22nd even, if they would have gotten up to prices that they've reached today on those dates. But instead, that made the June 22nd just a little pullback on the way up to this more important price.
July?
I'm sorry, July.
Okay.
I apologize for that. Yeah, I'm speaking about right now, July. Okay. So you follow that?
Mm-hmm.
So this is one of the things that we watch for, is that this is one of the increments in our setup that we want to see important prices, and we want to see them at the important turns. Okay? May not sound like a lot to you, but it's taken me a large number of years of studying the markets to be able to say something as simple as important turns occur at important prices. You can check a lot of technical books, probably won't see that statement. I don't know. I don't read them anymore. But it's fair to say that that's 20 years of worth of staring at markets to be able to say that statement. And so consider what I'm telling you, and it may actually click with you at some point, and you might be able to say for yourself, you know, that actually, even at my particular way of looking at markets, you know, speaking about yourself, that actually makes sense to me. And it can save you a lot of time and trouble. It can also maybe keep you out of a trade that you normally might not be in. And if it does nothing for you except let you listen to somebody who is telling you this, it still is interesting, and it may lead to other things later. Just let it germinate. Let the stew cook a little while in your brain. So this is a really pretty example for me of why it's important to be careful when you're selling a reversal or buying a reversal when that price, the important price, has not been reached. Because the market really wants to, after that turn is over, it wants to go do the important price. So does that make sense? Am I making that mm-hmm. relatively clear, Dwayne?
Yeah. No,
Okay.
I'm with you.
Okay. So anyway, so that's that on the euro. Now let's take a look real quick on it again, and then I'll see if there's anything else that we can do today in the markets. while I'm getting that chart up, I do want to mention we do have a webinar, our last webinar coming up for Reflected Wave, for those of you who have an interest. And if you've come before, it's okay. Bert sometimes says, oh, I see a lot of familiar faces here. That's okay. You can come again, and we'll go over it, and you can watch it again if you want to or not. And this seminar,
or to make it fun, you could wear one of those little masks like they wear at the masquerade balls, the kind, you know, with the stick, you know.
Yeah,
and then
yeah.
Bert would not be able to say, oh, I see a lot of familiar faces here. So you could be like a masquerade ball / webinar. I think we're on to something.
I think that's really good, Dwayne. Go get some coffee. Now, the seminar is on August 20th and 21st at the Mirage Hotel here in Las Vegas. I teach it. I know this subject well. I know it better probably than anybody. I do have some students that are advanced and that they have worked with it, and I can honestly say that they're pretty much, with regard to Reflected Wave, they're pretty much as good as I am. I mean, that's actually a good thing, because people, these guys have worked with it and they've worked their way up and they can really utilize it. Some of them, I have one guy, I just want to mention this, who verbalizes his understanding so well to me that it's like listening to poetry. I mean, when he says, well, you got the daily bottom here, we got the pullback into the 15-minute da-da-da-da low, I bought that. I mean, I can't even do it. It's like listening to poetry or something. It's like somebody reading a great poet's work as he's describing the multiple time frame set up on Reflected Wave or whatever. It's amazing. He's got something going on there.
Yeah,
and if that fellow is listening, he knows what his name is. It's John.
Hey, for those John.
Anyway,
I went to your site now to show folks how to get to the webinar, but the link is not there.
Well, the webinar information hasn't been sent out. Thank you for doing that. It's going to be sent out after the radio program today. So you'll if you have signed up for our free nightly report, you go on to pagetrader.com, sign up for the free nightly report. You're on our mailing list. We'll send it to you. If you want off of our mailing list, then you just click the get me off your mailing list button, and we won't send
Where's
you
anything
Where's
the get else. On the mailing list button? Where's that at?
It's on the home page on the left-hand side down a little bit, and it's get our free nightly report.
Right here. Free
right
messenger
there.
Pro nightly report. There you go, guys.
Right, and we'll have it up, and we'll send it out. I think some of your people, a number of them are on.
Yeah.
During the seminar, you will learn Reflected Wave, how to call turning point tops and bottoms in advance as a top or a bottom on all kinds of different time frames, and be able to, if you believe that would be good for your trading, if you think knowing where a turning point is, this would be very important for you to consider. It's not cheap. It's $6,900. It's basically $7,000 to come to it. But it's the very best turning point methodology that I believe exists right now. And I do demonstrate this very much like how Dwayne, there's many people that have a lot of things out there, but they don't really demonstrate it day after day. For those of you who may be new, I've been demonstrating Reflected Wave on this radio program for 6 years. I've been calling turning points, tops and bottoms, 15 minutes, 60, daily, hourly, weekly, quarterly, yearly on this program for 6 years. I demonstrate what I know. I prove that it does work. There's very few people that actually will do that. They might have some past performance or something, but I do it because I love it. I love the fact that it exists and that it can be done. I didn't originally come on the program to sell a course. I've been on the program for 6 years, and the only thing I have to sell is my Messenger Pro product. But we did ultimately decide to do this, and it's for a limited number of people, and I really mean that. It is limited. And if you have an interest in learning that, I'm the one that will teach it to you. And after the course is over, when you go home, wherever that is, you have virtually unlimited time with me in chunks on GoToMeeting. So if you have questions or want to advance your skill set further, if you want to pick my brain somewhat and find out how I traded, or any other things that you want to go through, I will help you improve your trading with that.
Jeff wants to know if there will be any current users or previous seminar attendees of the Reflective Wave at the meeting.
Well, you know, I have a little bit of a bad reputation with that now, don't I? Because the last time we had promised everyone that Michael Z or X would be at that seminar, and he has said that he will be at this one.
Right.
Now, he didn't. He couldn't make it, and there really was a legitimate thing that came up. It had to do with airline flights. He has two homes, one in Texas and one in Colorado, and something had come up where there was a delay, and he couldn't. He needed to go back home to Colorado, then get a flight, and it just didn't work out. And so that was unfortunate because several people did ask about it, and I owe those people something because they really wanted to meet him.
Mm-hmm.
Having said that, I've told you before, he's very, very plain and very ordinary, and for the extraordinary things that he does, and he is an extraordinary trader, for the extraordinary things that he does, he's very, you know, if you went into a, what's that store? Oh, I can't think of it. You know, sort of just imagine a guy just wearing kind of khaki pants with ordinary shoes and like a little polo shirt. You know, it just unassuming, just pleasantly dressed, low-key, you know, laughs a little, you know, just kind of just pleasant. Nothing really stands out about him,
mm-hmm.
other than, you know, the fact that he trades 15,000 S&P contracts a day.
Mm-hmm.
So he does have an extraordinary skill, and I think it would be fun for you, if you are at the seminar, to meet him. He is saying that he is coming to this one, the August 20th and 21st. I do want to put the caveat in. I can't absolutely guarantee that it'll be there, but there's going to be, like there has been at all of the seminars, there's a couple of my old students that are there who are still trading, still using Reflected Wave, and these are people back from the 90s. This is from like 1995, 1997 era that they're still trading, and they still use Reflected Wave. And you can chat with them, and they're real people. They really, you know, are doing this and using this stuff. So anyway, I didn't want to go too much into it, but if you have an interest, there's two ways you can do it. A little later today, it'll be on our blog, which you go to Trader's Blog at our pagetrader.com and click the link and sign up. And you can also get sign up for our email, and we'll send it to you. In the past 100 years, there have been a number of turning point methodologies published. This has nothing to do with any of them. It's completely unconnected to any of them. It's not an extension of Fibonacci or GAN or some new flip on Elliott or something like that. So it really is different. It's a complete, literally, a flip around of what you might think, and it allows you to do some amazing things, and I demonstrate that every day on the market. Our soybean call from the other day, top on the 22nd, bottom on the 25th, large advance out of that, had a lot to do with Reflected Wave. You know, that was one of the techniques in that. The call for the July 22nd top on the S&P, pure Reflected Wave. And how do you know that? How can you know that the market's going to turn? It's because the market has a nature. That's why you can know. It's not just a bunch of people screaming and shouting, although that's part of it, but it has a nature. It doesn't require an external policeman to direct it, even if you are open to the idea that planetary and other influences are in here, and that's fine. I have nothing against that, though that actually is a case. But the fact is that the market itself has a nature. And because it has a nature, that means it is operating under that nature. It's going to act in accordance with its own nature. Reflected Wave is picking up on one of the most important basic principles about the market's nature. And it has to do with, and I'll give you this so you can think about it, it has to do with the expression that the market, how the market expresses its use of price over time. Now, that may sound complicated to you, but it all happens automatically in Reflected Wave. You don't have to do calculations. You don't have to put Fibonacci up. You don't have to do any of that stuff. It's all done with an indicator. And the indicator tells you a number of things about the market, one of which is that it's going to turn on the 22nd as a top. That's two pieces of very important information, that it's going to be a top and it's going to turn. And here's a third one, that it's going to go sideways to lower for usually for three or more days. So it's very interesting, it's very useful, and if you're interested, you can sign up for that webinar that's going to be next Wednesday, and the time, it'll be 1:30 Pacific time is when it starts. So take a look at that. This is our last webinar before the actual seminar, so if you have an interest in coming, please do so. I'd love to see you there, and I want you to know that, I want to repeat it again, that we're not in the business that we right now are temporarily in the business of doing seminars, but we've been doing this, we've been doing PageTrader for 12 years. This is unusual for us, and if you like it, it might be a good idea to take advantage of it before we go back to our normal business, which is expanding our trading knowledge and continuing to expand into one of the things that we're doing is expanding into the institutional market for traders, people who are the bigger players in the market who could use this information, the kinds of forecasts that we're doing. So that's something that we're working on as well. So let's go back to the euro real quick, and I'll see, and then I'll have to get out of here, Dwayne, because I know you probably have important things to do as well.
Cool, yeah.
We mentioned that the
I'm
week
still
of July
on the
25th,
euro right now. That's what's up.
You're still what?
The chart I have up is still the euro.
Okay. I was going to mention that on the weekly chart of the euro, we're looking, remember we talked about the week of July 25th, and we want to see that week do something important. We're doing that. This is the first of two very important weeks. The first one is the week of July 25th, and the second one is the week of August 22nd. Most of you that, if you wrote those down, those dates are still valid, still very important. And you're just going to love the August 22nd reversal. Be there, because it's going to be big. And it's going to be very tradable. And there's going to be plenty of room to pull back and buy stuff. So let's just wait and see. That's the weekend of the seminar, by the way, as well. So other than that, the euro today has gone up and done the important prices that they would have normally done with the top that we called a few days ago for the 21st. And so this is important. I don't have anything new or different for this market today. And I think, really, with the S&P quiet, I don't know that there's anything really big. I think there's one other thing. Bert reminded me of crude the other day, and I just wanted to double-check that with you today. And we're really not, yeah, we're not quite, you know, crude went down. We called for a top in crude on July 22nd. There's that date again. And
are you in
they
September
did go,
crude?
I'm in September crude. Okay. We did go from a high of 100.19 down to 97, so about a full swing of about almost 3 points, but it's not that big of a move. But we are going to, this market is, we may have something in this market soon as well. I've noticed, and I just want to say this, that isn't it interesting that for me anyway, you know, we went for a whole run of lots and lots of trades in these different markets, and you can see that we've slowed down in giving them out because of a lot of these different little things that have changed, just like what I showed you a minute ago on the euro with the top coming in but the important price not being there. And then on another market, we have a market that's putting in a beautiful bottom, but it comes one day early, and we like to trade on the on time or one day late. And, you know, one thing after another, all of these markets have given those out. And I still sound pretty happy, don't I? I haven't thrown any chairs. I'm just waiting. Because I don't invest money unless I see what I really like. And when I see what I really like, I can't help but invest my money. That's the thing. I want to put the money into the market when I see what I like. And if I don't see what I like, I don't want to put it in. So I don't play with the idea that I might, maybe, coulda, shoulda. I just wait until I see what I like. It's just that simple. And that makes for very, very easy, non-tortured trading. What's the Addams Family line? Don't torture yourself, Gomez. That's my job. That's what. What was the lady's name in the? Morticia.
Morticia.
This is a beautiful name. It's just like one letter away from mortician.
Yep.
You know.
That was the point.
That was a great show. Maybe that ought to be my theme song. Anyway, I think that's about for today, Dwayne. I think that's about everything I've got, and. Let me just double check here. Treasury bills. And if there's really no questions.
By the way, you can only update your theme song 4 times a year, so choose carefully.
Yeah, I know. It's, you stay up really it's late poorly. Doing that, and your wife has to walk her dog. I know. let's see if there's anything else here. I think that's about it.
Now, coming into the show, we showed on the hourly chart here, we showed the whole thing we've been talking about, and we talked about how we did a video last week about how it always, you know, looks very easy in hindsight and blah, blah, and we talked about, you know, how it unfolds in real time and how you're going to take that trade in real time. And so today was another example. We said, okay, here it comes. in real time. What are you going to do about it? How are you going to deal with it? Because afterwards, it's going to look like, you know, well, nobody could have missed that. But there will be some who did miss it and didn't take it. And after the fact, when you look at it, don't be hard on yourself. Just know, I just want you to understand that you have to know what it is you're looking for, and when you see it, you have to be willing to act on it. And it's kind of what you were just talking about, David. You know, you wait until you see what you like, what you know, and you're not
right.
Hot and bothered, you know, festering about trading something until you do see that thing. And once you see the thing, then you're happy to, you know, be there. So wherever that's price right. ends up today, it may well end said. Up way down here, and you go, man, you know, it was there, and I could have been in it, but you weren't. You didn't.
Mm-hmm.
And so don't beat yourself up. Don't be disturbed, you know. Just say,
right.
okay.
A good way to think about stuff is to remember the phrase, trade at your own level. Don't spend all of your time trying to improve your trading. Trade at your current level. Spend some of your time trading at your known level, the thing that you know. And you're looking for that. If you want to improve your trading, you spend the less percentage of your time, you know, trying to, you know, get a later, more advanced approach or something. But be willing to trade at just the level that you are, the very thing that you understand and know. Be comfortable with that. Look for that. And there's a lot of value. There really is. There's a lot of value in simply staying with what you understand. And then on your off hours, you can try to improve yourself and slowly integrate that improvement, whatever that is, into your trading. But trade what your level is. And doing that improves that level. It improves your normal level. And it prepares you for the next level. You really can't jump too many steps. Although there are some steps that you'll take, and everyone's had this experience, where you take a little, you discover something, and it shoots you up, just like a market shooting up really fast. It shoots you to the next level very quickly. I recently had something like that occur with me in another area of my life, in guitar playing, because I've told you that I play the electric guitar, acoustic and electric, but I really love electric guitar. I love a lot of kinds of music, whether it's rock or jazz or rock fusion. And I have worked for years on a certain type of technique, and I've never been able to get past this point, and I finally just have given up on it. And then suddenly, it's so amazing, like everything else in life, the other day, about 3-4 days ago, something dawned on me about the way that I was using my pick on the guitar. That's the thing that you hold that hits the strings. And it completely blasted me through. I was able to now jump up several levels all in one short little fell swoop. And that happens. That's how, you know, it's like a paradigm shift, right up there. And so now I'm able to do things and play sequences on the guitar that I couldn't do before. And I'm just delighted. I'm just amazed because it took so long to find this. And there it is right there, but you can't see it until you can see it. And very much like that in the markets, you play your own level, you practice your own level, that makes that level improve, it prepares you for the next level, and before you know it, there's a little discovery, and that jumps you up to the next level. And it's delightful, and you can see how fast it happens. It's like, wow, suddenly I suddenly have this capability, almost like somebody who's blind who suddenly can see, they have an instant new capability, and they're instantly able to do new things that they weren't able to do before, and how far can they go with that? And so it's like a market reaching, you know, breaking out and reaching to a new price level. But I like the idea, just as a simple thing, practice your own level. Don't always be worried about trading higher or more contracts. There's very few people that can do what Michael Z does, and there's no need to force yourself to that level. For most of us, I mean, really, for most of us to make an extra $3,000 or $4,000 a month is completely delightful. You know, we don't have to be putting ourselves through the intensity that it requires to trade in huge size. And by the way, if you were able to do that and make $3,000 to $4,000 or whatever the number is, you know, let's just say just somewhere, you know, a little bit of money each month. Mm-hmm. If you're able to do that, then you can say to yourself, well, gosh, if I can do that, what, you know, let me practice that level, right? Let me practice that level, get good at that level, and then let me inch that up or whatever you're comfortable doing. And then at some point you'll make a little breakthrough, and before you know it, you know, maybe that level actually doubles or something because you found some new thing and you're waiting for it. And remember, this is the big thing, and then I'll get out of your hair today, but remember, in the end, after all of your study of the market, it's the trade selection and the risk management that defines the quality of the trader. In the final analysis, try to find that something wrong with that. You won't. The trade selection is you using your best information to select the trade that you're going to invest money in. Not trade, invest. I want that word in there because invest is a serious word. It's more serious than trading. Trading's fooling around. Invest your money in that trade. That's trade selection. And then once your money is invested, you're going to use proper risk management. You're going to give the trade room. You're going to trade like you're right, but you're also going to make sure that in case you're wrong, like we were a couple weeks ago on the euro, where we had a beautiful setup, in case you're wrong, that you're going to minimize that loss so that you are not giving away unnecessarily previously well-selected trades' profits, that you're not just handing them all back. Trade selection is the main thing, and then risk, both of these are equal. Trade selection and risk management will actually, that's the final strokes of the brush that makes you the Picasso in trading. So you're putting all your information together, you're learning how to select trades, you're waiting for what you like to see, you're putting the trade on, you're working with risk management, and you're walking that trade through to completion. It's very, very pleasant, it's intensely pleasant to do things correctly. It's intensely unpleasant to do them incorrectly. So unless you want to be an Adams Family trader, you don't have to torture yourself, you just have to learn what it is you know, get it down, wait for it to occur, select the trade, use risk management, and you're going to be intensely pleased with the results of that. And that took me 20 years to be able to say. And with that, Dwayne, I think I'll scoot along.
Okay, David. Well, we've covered it all, I think.
I think we have.
All right. Any final things you got on the ES? Highs, lows, sideways?
I don't think so, Dwayne. Right. I think today I'm,
we talked about earlier,
in the fifth or sixth hour, we did already make a low in the fifth hour. I mentioned earlier that if we make a low in the fifth hour or sixth hour, that would be something I would potentially be looking to buy. But I'm not in any big rush here or anything. It's very, very quiet. And so I'll wait until something a little bit more.
It really is.
You know, that's my best thing to say, but I'm not going to do anything with that right now.
Okay. Very good.
So anyway, listen, it's a pleasure to be on your show. And Dwayne, I want to thank you again for, I don't say this very often, but you'll get it from me today, for your 6 years of work and effort and putting all this together so that myself and other people that are seriously interested in trading, along with your whole audience, can come to this program every day, listen to this stuff, get a lot of different viewpoints on markets, and go home and have that change their day, have that change their life a little bit, have that improve their trading. Whatever it does, the fact that the thing here exists, I think is wonderful, and I'm thanking you for it.
Well, David, thank you very much for saying that, and thank you, sir, for being a part of the program.
My pleasure, and I'll talk to you guys bright and early tomorrow.
Sounds good.
Okay, see you then.
Take care now.
Bye-bye.
Hey guys, Mr. Wild Wild West, that's his new theme song. For a while, we just put the Wild Wild West on the shelf. He just wanted to go with something different for a while, so there you go. That's it. We aim to please. All right, that's going to do it for me. Thanks so much for tuning in. Whoever you are, wherever you are, may God continue to richly bless you with His mercy and with His grace. And I'll see you at the bell.
Remember this, there is no greater return on investment than to see a human life changed and given hope. As always, pray hard and trade safe. Any financial information discussed on this show is simply the opinion of our host, Dwayne Reeves, his co-hosts, and guests. To learn more about trading e-mini futures or to take a one-week free trial in our live trading room, call 1-866-928-3310. 866-928-3310. Information discussed on this radio program should not be construed as a recommendation to buy or sell any security. Always do your own due diligence and consult with a licensed securities broker or financial planner before making any investment decision.